Now let's continue with the message on Feast of Trumpets 2011. Let's come back to the book of Revelation. And let's see the progression of things leading up to this time of the great army of God. And what a tremendous thing that is going to be. And it's, as I gave in a sermon, the little-known prophecies concerning the kings of the East and the building up of those nations and what is taking place over there today. Everything is going to be fulfilled to its fullest. So we need to keep our eyes open and watch what is happening, because that whole area is going to be something indeed. All right. Now, Revelation, the first chapter, shows the resurrected Christ, how he is the head of the church, Revelation 2 and 3, and the messages to the seven churches, and how God shows that he does not allow the doctrines of the counterfeit Christian church of this world to come into his church, that he will judge, that he will punish, that he will not allow it. And then we come to chapter 4 and 5, which are preparation for opening the seals. And then we covered how those seals are opened. And then on the next to the last Pentecost, the 144,000 and a great innumerable multitude are sealed. Now, after that is a period of 3.5 months between Pentecost and trumpets. And so we will see that beginning on trumpets, the seven trumpets begin to sound, each one sounding successively over a period of time, then leading up to the next Pentecost and the resurrection of the saints, as we saw on the Feast of Pentecost and the fulfillment of that prophecy and the work of God through that. And then what happens when all the saints meet Christ in the air on the sea of glass and all the things take place that take place there. And then we will see the seven last plagues poured out. And all of that runs then from Pentecost to Pentecost and then from trumpets to trumpets. So let's see how these events flow. Let's begin right here in Revelation, the 8th chapter. And this is something. The seventh seal is opened. Verse 1, Revelation 8. And there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. And then I saw the seven angels who stand before God. And seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and much incense was given to him so that he might offer it with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that was before God. So at this time, the saints are still living on the earth. We're still praying, asking God for help and intervention, asking for God to protect us. The 144,000 are praying. The great innumerable multitude are praying. Okay? Then we see verse 4, and the smoke of the incense went up before God by the hand of the angel, ascending with the prayers of the saints. That's a spectacular scene in heaven. Now, it's going to be interesting when we see how all of this works after we're resurrected and be able to see the very throne room of God and all of the things that are talked about in Revelation 4 and 5 in the throne of God. We'll see it. Verse 5 now, Revelation 8. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire from the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. So all the way through the book of Revelation, there are various earthquakes. Now, it takes time for people to recover from some of these earthquakes, wouldn't you think? Yes, indeed. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound their trumpets. Now, as with the seals, the first four seals are opened quite rapidly. Likewise, the first four trumpets are sounded successively in a very short span of time. And the first angel sounded his trumpet, and there was hail and fire mingled with blood, and it was cast into the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. What a spectacular thing that is going to be. That's why no one knows the day or the hour. Look at all the events that happened in the heavens and on the earth, so that no one is going to know. Sorry, Harold Camping, and all of the false prophets who have come before you and after you. You don't know the truth of God because you're not willing to submit to God, to love him and to keep his commandments. Then the second angel sounded his trumpet, and there was cast into the sea, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures that were in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Because how many thousands of ships are on the ocean today, carrying goods and services? And at this time, they'll be carrying troops and things like this. And imagine, think about this, how it's going to affect everything, all right? Right after that, the third angel sounded his trumpet, and there fell out of heaven a great star burning as a lamp, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died drinking the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was smitten, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third part of the day did not shine, likewise a third part of the night. You would think, boy, once people come up against this, you would think there would be mass repentance. But no, we are going to see they refuse to repent. They refuse to yield themselves to God. Now it's going to get worse because of that. Verse 13, and I looked and I heard an angel flying in the midst of heaven with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to those who are dwelling on the earth because of the voices of the remaining trumpets of the three angels who are about to sound their trumpets. Now then, a great catastrophe happens here. A great super secret technological event comes. Now, men working with demons, that's the fifth angel. Notice. And the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to the earth. And there was given to him, that is, that angel, the key of the bottomless abyss. Now, in the bottomless abyss is where all the demons who have not been let out are imprisoned. Because if you think this world is an evil place now, what would it have been if all the evil demons were let out? So here they come. And he opened the bottomless abyss, and there went up a smoke from the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke from the pit. Then locusts came onto the earth from the smoke, and power was given to them as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was said to them that they should not damage the grass of the earth, because by that time the grass had grown back. Nor any green thing, because they have recovered. Nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. So here's supernatural protection for the 144,000 and the great innumerable multitude who have been sealed. And it was given to them that they should not kill, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings. And in those days men shall seek death and will not find it, and they will desire to die, but death shall flee from them. And here's what this weapon is going to look like. Now, you've heard of the combination of occultism and secret weapons? Yes, because that's where they get their technology. And notice what this is going to be like. Okay? And the appearance of locusts was like horsemen prepared for war. and on their heads were crowns like those of gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. So this shows men and demons working together to carry out this super secret weapon in hopes of stopping all the armies of the north and the east, because the beast was troubled by those things and went forth to make fury, Revelation the 11th chapter. And they had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like those of lions, and they had breastplates like iron breastplates, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots drawn by many horses running to war. And they had in their tails like scorpions and stingers. And they were given power to injure men with their tails for 5 months. So this is something. This carries right on through the winter. Starts in the fall with the Feast of Trumpets and carries right on through winter to spring. Let's read on and see what happened. Let's see who gave them this power. Let's see who is behind this. And they had over them a king, the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but his name in Greek is Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, after these things, two more woes are still to come. Now we come to the great army spoken of by Joel. All the kings of the east and all the kings of the north, and they have built up their societies, they have developed their armies, and it is quite a thing. Now, not all 200 million of them are going to be able to come to the Middle East all at once. As we have seen, these armies will be strung out. And even after the millennium, there will still be some of those armies that are going to come and try and take over the kingdom again, as we read in Ezekiel 38 in a sermon that I gave some time ago. So let's continue on here. Verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. And it said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. Then the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were loosed, so that they might kill a third of men. And the number of the armies, plural, of the horsemen was 200,000, that is 200 million. And John says, and I heard the number of them. Let's come back here to the book of Joel, because this is where God talks about his army of 200 million that is coming. And it's judgment from God, and it's power that God has raised up. And God is going to bring them, just like he said, all the nations of the world will be involved. Joel, the first chapter. Let's pick it up here in verse 13. Let's read it here, verse 13. Gird yourself, this is chapter 1 now, Joel 1, verse 13. Gird yourself and lament, you priests. Howl, you ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God, for the grain offering and the drink offerings are held back from the house of your God. Sanctify a fast. Now this is to the Jews there in the Holy Land. Sanctify a fast. Remember, the two witnesses will be there as well, and probably the last Elijah to help them with this. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the people of the land unto the house of the Lord your God, and cry out unto the Lord. Alas for the day! The day of the Lord is at hand, and it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Boy, that's going to be something. There will be the armies coming across over toward the Holy Land. The river Euphrates will be dried up for a period of time while this takes place, and they are coming. Let's see what else it says here. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Blow the ram's horn in Zion and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, for it is near at hand. Yes, it is. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. As the morning is spread over the mountains, so comes a great people, a mighty people. There has never been the like. Who has ever heard of a collection of armies of 200 million? As I've mentioned before, this is equivalent to two-thirds of the population of the United States. And look how they are scattered out. So that's how these armies are going to be, going all the way back to China, back to Afghanistan, back to Pakistan, back to India, and then on over into Iran and on into Iraq and over in toward the Holy Land. They're all going to be coming. It's going to be quite a thing when that takes place. Now let's continue on. As the morning is spread across the mountain, so comes a great people, a mighty people. There has never been the like, nor ever shall be again. Even to the years of many generations, that's on down into the millennium. A fire devours before them. That's what it says there in Revelation 9. And behind them a flame burns. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is the appearance of horses, and as war horses, so they run. It's exactly what we find in Revelation 9. We'll see in a minute when we get back there. That's quite a thing. They shall leap with the noise of chariots on the top of mountains, with the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, like a mighty people set in battle array. In their presence the people shall greatly tremble. All faces shall grow pale. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. And they have the ability to do that. They even have soles made on shoes that you can literally run up the wall. And they shall march each one in his path, and they shall not break rank, and each one shall not crowd another. They shall go every one in his own path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. So they will have, again, demonic, supernatural help. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb into houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and moon shall grow dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. Now notice what happens. God is going to make his presence known. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is exceedingly great. For powerful is he who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Now notice what God says. God always offers repentance. God always acknowledges repentance. Notice what he says. Therefore, even now, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Yes, render your heart, and not your garments, and return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he repents of the evil. Who knows if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? Yes, who knows? Quite a thing. Verse 15, blow the ram's horn in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those who suck breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her room. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say. So this is a repentance right there in Jerusalem. Right there the Jews come to a mammoth repentance. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and give not your inheritance to shame, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? So yes, God says he's going to answer. Let's see what else God is going to do. Let's come to Joel, the third chapter. Let's pick it up here in verse 9. God is going to gather all nations. Now, we have this with the armies of 200 million. But we also have then, they come with the seven last plagues. Another wave of the armies coming. And also, as we will see, armies from all nations, exactly as God has said. Verse 9, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into spears and your pruning hooks into swords. Let the weak say, I am strong. Gather yourselves. Come, all you nations. Gather yourselves together all around. Cause your mighty ones to come down there, says the Lord. Let the nations be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the nations all around. And then comes the harvest of the wicked, which will be the seven last plagues. We'll see that in a bit. God says here, verse 13, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall also roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of his people Israel. Now let's come back to the book of Revelation, see how these things go, and see how this army of 200 million fulfills what he is saying, and how that there are other armies that are going to come after the resurrection. So they'll have a time between the resurrection at Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets when we come back with Christ, all assembled to start taking over the world. Yes, indeed. But let's finish it here in Revelation 9. So they were to kill the third part of men, and the number was 200,000, or 200 million of the armies. Notice it says horsemen, but it refers to the type of vehicles and things that they have. And so I saw the horses in vision and those sitting on them, and they had fiery breastplates. Notice how that ties in with what we read in Joel 2. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and fire and smoke and brimstone shoot out of their mouth. Very descriptive of what was said also in Joel the second chapter. By these, a third of men were killed. So the devastation is going to be something. Just exactly like it was said in Jeremiah 25, that in that day the dead shall be strewn from one end of the earth to the other, and no one's going to be burying them. A third of men were killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone that shoot out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouths, for their tails are like serpents, and they have heads, and with them they inflict wounds. But the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the works of their hands, that they might not worship demons. See, they have set their minds and have been so deceived by Satan the devil, they are thinking that they're coming against the aliens invading the world, and we have got to stop this mess that is going on. We have got to fight for it, lest we all be destroyed, and they don't repent. No, that they might not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which do not have the power to see nor to hear nor to walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thievery. Quite a thing. Absolutely an amazing thing that's taking place. Then we have the seven thunders. And we don't know what the seven thunders are because John was told not to write them. So then here is going to be a sequence of untold, unthinkable, unwritable plagues that are going to become. And that's still not the end of it, see? Now then we come down to the time of the next Pentecost, when the resurrection takes place. And we find that it is the third woe. Verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded his trumpets. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign into the ages of eternity. And then the saints are all resurrected. We meet Christ in the air. We receive our rewards. We receive our assignments. We receive our new names. We are given our new garments. We are given our horses. We're told how we are to be. We're shown, we sing the song of the Lamb, the song of Moses. And then we are able to watch the seven last plagues poured out. And the seven last plagues poured out then are going to end up being the harvest of the wicked. And as we saw back there, the valley of decision, the valley of judgment, the valley of slaughter. Now let's come to Revelation 15, and we will see about the seven last plagues, Revelation 15 and 16, because all of those have a part in the fulfilling of that last year, from trumpets to trumpets. So out of the seventh trumpet comes the seven last plagues. Now, Revelation 15 and verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and awesome, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them the wrath of God is filled up. It's like he said, he is going to destroy Babylon the Great. The judgment has come. Christ and the saints are getting ready to return. Then it shows the saints on the sea of glass with Christ, verses 2, 3, and 4. Now verse 5. And after these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, coming direct from God the Father and Jesus Christ. And the seven angels who had the seven last plagues came into the temple. They were clothed in linen, pure and bright, and girded about the chest with golden breastplates. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden vials, full of the wrath of God who lives into the ages of eternity. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter inside the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now chapter 16, as it goes right on, there is no separation in the original writing. See how I do? Now, Revelation 16 and verse 1. Now, this happens between the time of the resurrection on Pentecost and the next trumpet, a space of about 3.5 months. All right? So let's read it. Verse 1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple say to the seven angels, go and pour out the vials of the wrath of God unto the earth. Now that was right below where the armies are all gathered, where God said he gathered them into the valley of decision. The first angel went and poured out his vial on the earth, and an evil and grievous sore fell upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who were worshiping his image. So this one here goes out to everyone who has the mark of the beast, regardless of where they are. And the second angel went and poured out his vial into the sea, and it became like blood, like that of a dead man, and every living soul in the sea died. So this earth is going to be so absolutely, utterly destroyed that God is going to have to clean it up, and we're going to be a part of that. Brethren, I think we need to understand there's a tremendous amount of work for us and those pitiful survivors that survive through this, because there will be some of those who will. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and to the fountains of the waters, and they became blood. So God is going to finish this off in tremendous, awesome style. Notice every fulfillment is going to be vast, not a itty-witty-bitty of it. See, Christ can't return until all these things take place. So all you false prophets out there, you better wake up and take notice, because this is your fate, unless you repent. Verse 4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and upon the fountains of water, and they became blood. Now notice how the angels view what God is doing. People will say, oh, well, a lot of these were good people, so why would God want to kill good people? Well, can the goodness of man save man, or is it only the goodness of God that saves man? Have not all sinned and come short of the glory of God? Have they not given themselves over to the beast? Have they not received the mark of the beast, worshipped his image, gathered together to fight Christ? Yes, indeed. So here's how the angels look at it. Verse 5. Then I heard the angel of the waters say, you are righteous, O Lord, who are and who was, even the Holy One, in that you have executed this judgment. For they poured out the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. That's how the angels view it. See, because they've seen all of the things that have gone on the earth with the history of men. And it's a terrible thing indeed. Verse 7, and I heard another voice from the altar say, yes, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given to it to scorch men with fire. And it says in another place, in one of the prophecies in the Old Testament, that the sun got seven times more intense. So whatever that temperature is, it's going to be a flash of the sun, and it's going to affect men on the earth. Men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has authority over these plagues, and did not repent to give him glory. What will it take for some people to repent, huh? What will it take? And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed with their tongues because of the pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, yet they did not repent of their works. Look, at every turn when evil comes, there's a chance to repent. You understand that? Likewise in our lives, you see. Now here's preparation for the final battle. Because after the four angels were loosed, as we saw in Revelation 9, from the river Euphrates, it dried up. But now here we have it going again. So now it's flowing again, and the way has to be prepared for some more of the armies of the 200 million to come. All right? And the sixth angel poured out his vial into the great river Euphrates, and the waters were dried up, so that the way of the kings of the rising of the sun might be prepared. Now, we don't know how long that's going to stay dried up. But after all of this, Satan has yet his supernatural powers to go out and yet deceive the remaining men who are still alive and their armies to come together in a last-minute, futile attempt to repel the invasion from outer space. Jesus Christ and the resurrected saints. So verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. And these are spirits of demons working miracles, going forth to the kings of the earth, even the whole world, to gather them together to the battle of that great day of the Almighty God. This is going to be some battle. Now God gives a warning. This is an inset. Just because you're not living in those days, don't get comfortable in your spirituality and give up on God. So this is why this inset chapter is here. Behold, I come as a thief. Shouldn't be for us, but for the world. Blessed is the one who is watching and who is keeping his garment, so that he may not walk naked and that he may not see his shame. A message to what? The Laodicean. Got to be alert. You got to be careful. Now, verse 16. And he gathered them together into the place that in the Hebrew is called Armageddon. So the battle of Armageddon is not armies of the earth fighting against each other. You know, just like someone said just before the invasion in 1991 repelling Saddam Hussein from Kuwait, they said he was the king of the north. Now today, some false prophet says that Ahmadinejad in Iran is the king of the north. No, that doesn't even fit the compass. That's to the east. That's Persia. And as we have seen, Ahmadinejad better read the book of Esther to find out what happens if you're going to attempt to kill all the Jews. Yes, you read the fate there. To gather them together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. As they are gathered there, then the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and a loud voice came from the temple of heaven, from the throne, saying, "It is finished." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were on the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island disappeared, and none of the mountains were found. So this is God's finality against the nations of this earth. And great hail, each stone the weight of a talent, 180 pounds, fell down from heaven upon men, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague was exceeding. Now, let's come here to Revelation 19. Let's read it. Christ is going to return. Right when that happens, we are going to come off the sea of glass, come down with Christ, and these armies, there's still going to be them, even after the hail. They're going to be those who are going to futilely fight because they've given themselves over to Satan the devil, to the beast, to the false prophet, and to the demons that are energizing them. Let's pick it up here in verse 11, Revelation 19. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. That's Christ. And in judgment, in righteousness, does he judge and make war. And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knows except himself. And he was clothed in a garment dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. That's Jesus Christ. And the armies in heaven were following him on white horses, and they were clothed in fine linen, white and pure, and that fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. There we are, on our horses, coming down with Christ, coming down to take over this earth, coming down to horrendous destruction, coming down to an earth where the bodies are strewn from one end of the horizon to the other end. Now let's read verse 15. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he might smite the nations, that is, all those gathered there. And he shall shepherd them with a rod of iron. That's what he's going to have to do at first. And he treads the winepress of the fury and the wrath of Almighty God. And we come back here to Revelation 14, and we find where it talks about it here in verse 18. And out from the altar came another angel who had authority over fire, and he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the earth, because her grapes are fully ripe, and bring them," as it says in Joel, the 3rd chapter, "into the winepress of Almighty God, under the judgment of the valley of slaughter." And the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast its fruit into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood spewed out from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle, to the distance of 1,600 furlongs. And that refers right back here to Revelation 19 and verse 15. Now let's notice, we see who it is, verse 16. And on his garment and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come, gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God. Because as it is there in Zechariah 14, when they fight against Christ, when the word goes out of Christ, their flesh is just going to fall right off of them. What a mighty weapon that is. What a fantastic meal for all the birds of heaven, eh? Saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come, gather yourselves to the supper of the great God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, the flesh of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all, free and bond, small and great. Yes, what a thing that's going to be. However, the beast and the false prophet are saved for a special punishment. Let's read it. Verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war with him who sits upon the horse and his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet who worked miracles in his presence, by which he had deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Those two were cast alive into the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. And the rest were killed by the sword of him who sits on the horse, even the sword which goes out of his mouth, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Now let's come back here to Zechariah, the 14th chapter, and let's see how fantastic a thing this is going to be. Zechariah 14, and we will see how this is going to end. And it's going to be quite a thing. Think of all the destruction. Think of all the death. Think of everything that Satan worked for. And he's going to be put into the bottomless pit with a seal set over him so that he doesn't deceive the nations anymore till the 1,000 years are finished. See, because the truth is, brethren, you can never have righteousness among men as long as Satan is around. And isn't that also true of the churches, how Satan has worked his way in? Yes, that's what Revelation 2 and 3 tells us. So here's the finale of it here. Verse 2. Now, verse 1, Revelation, not Revelation, but Zechariah 14. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and your spoils shall be divided in your midst. For I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. And the city shall be taken, and the houses plundered, and the women raped, and half of the city shall go into exile, and the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city. That's why there's repentance there, as we saw in Jerusalem. And the Lord shall go out and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. That's what we saw in Revelation 19. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall split in two from the east to the west and make a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Boy, that's going to be a day, isn't it? Notice. And you shall flee to the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountain shall reach to Azel. And you shall flee as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with you. That's all of us, brethren, who attain to the first resurrection. That's why in this world today, we're always to keep our mind on the goal. We're always to keep our mind on why we are called. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, and it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at even time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem to start healing the world. Half of them shall go toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In summer and winter it shall be there, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name shall be one. Now that's going to be something, brethren. That's why this Feast of Trumpets. That's why the Feast of Trumpets is a war feast. And we see the only way that God is going to rebuild the world is that you have to destroy all the vestige of Babylon the Great. It must be destroyed. God is not going to patch it. He's going to start from the ground up. And so think about what we're going to have to do to start to bring that about, and why we need the instructions of God as how to rule properly. So the next feast day is coming up, is the Day of Atonement, which is a great day of rejoicing for getting rid of Satan the devil. So we'll see you then. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.